Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the first meeting under the new scrutiny structure of the Corporate Services Scrutiny Committee. I am obliged to read out the following statement at the beginning of the meeting before going on to further introduce the meeting. This meeting will be recorded and the sound recording subsequently made available via the Council's website. Please also note that under the Openness of Local Government Bodies Regulations 2014, that other people may film, record, tweet or blog from this meeting. The use of any images or sound recordings is not under the Council's control. Thank you very much. I have item one on the agenda. Do we have any apologies?
From Councillor Paling, Chair, and also Councillor Harper-Davis wished to give her apologies. She would normally have attended as Cabinet Lead Member, but was very good.
Okay, thank you very much. Do we have any disclosures of pecuniary and personal interests? No. Item three, declarations under the party whip. Nope. Item four, questions under scrutiny committee procedure 11.6 or 11.16. No questions have been submitted. Item five, the first substantive item, the new scrutiny committee structure terms of reference. I am presuming, Mrs. Widdowson, I have to get used to saying that to everybody, not my norm. I believe you will be leading on this item.
That's right. Thank you, Chair. So the this report sets out the new remit in terms of reference for the new scrutiny committee, and on in Appendix 1, on pages 8 and 9, you'll see referenced the terms of reference for the Corporate Services Scrutiny Committee. I don't intend on reading through those in great detail. They are there for information, and we've also touched on this in earlier training sessions as part of the member induction programme. So the recommendation is that the terms of reference are set out in Part B and in the appendix be noted. Thank you. Are there any questions?
Happy to move that, Chairman.
I think we just note it, but happy that we do so. Are there any issues with noting that item? No. Thank you very much. Thank you for attending. Appreciate you coming to do that, and also for the prior training session. Thank you very much, Mr. Wilson. Appreciate it. Item six. You have a separate set of papers for item six, which were distributed. Item six on the agenda supplement, I believe pages 3 to 14, is the Revenue Monitoring General Fund and HRA Revenue Outturn. I believe that Mr. Jackson will do a brief beginning or presentation on that, or lead member. Lead member will do that.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Thank you and welcome. We have Councillor Barclay here who will lead out on that item.
Okay, so good evening, councillors, and this is the outturn report for the 2018-2019 budget. It's a factual report. We came in with a variance of $377,000 on the budget. And that is a positive result. It's possibly not as accurate as we would have wanted, but it's considerably better than we have done in the past. On page 6, the major variations are outlined, and the biggest one among them is an underspend of $430,000 on the private sector housing. A lot of this is being carried forward into 1920, specifically external grants for homelessness, road landlords, things that haven't been carried out. The money will be used in those areas. The explanations are down there. I'm quite happy to answer any questions on it. The general fund has a request to carry forward a total of $39,000. The HRA carry forward requests are £484,700. Possibly the most useful part of the report, in a very succinct way, is page 10 and 11, which outlines what's happened on 10 and 11, which outlines what the budget was, what the actual spend was, and the variance between them. And that really summarises the whole lot. So, as far as our general reserves have gone, they have gone up by about 1.2 million, so we now have about 10 from the top of the line, about 10.7 million. The reason that is because we have had a Section 31 grant from the government of 1.2 million. It specifically relates to the collection of business rates. There is a deficit on the collection fund for business rates of 800,000. That 1.2 million will be used to settle out that 800,000 deficit, and obviously leaves a surplus of 400,000, which will go into the general fund. The various directorates, you can see what the position of them is, each of them. Could we do better? Yeah, there are various ups and downs and compensating ups and downs throughout the budget. It would be nice to get it more accurate. We have a sort of gross budget from the top of mind of about 40 million. Next year, you will see that we anticipated using £1 million of worth of reserves in 2018-19. From memory, we didn't use that at all. So that's one good point. We're actually anticipating using about £1.2 million worth of reserves this year. Whether that happens or not, we will remain to be seen. But you will get quarterly reports of the outturn report, and I will, like you, view that with interest. Financially, we remain fairly sound. We're in a very challenging environment. The grants from the government have gone down. The amount we get in new homes bonus has gone down. On all fronts, we're challenged. There are pressures all over the place. We have got some reserves. A lot of those reserves are actually earmarked. We need a minimum working balance of about 2 million. We've got about 6.8 million from memory. That isn't a huge amount. We only need a couple of glitches for that to go wrong. What I would say to you is that when we are producing the budget for 2020-21, bearing in mind that the budgets are produced virtually a year and a few months ahead, so prediction isn't that easy, but we're certainly going to try and get it a lot more close to, as close as we can, because what we don't want to do is predict on the medium term financial strategy that we're going to have a deficit. That results in, we cannot live with the deficit forever. You can see that we have the reserves that I've talked about, so we could absorb that, but there is no getting away from the fact that we have to balance our income and expenditure going forward a bit. 1 year, 2 years. We will do. We've not failed so far, and we're not going to fail in the future. But we will have to, if we don't get medium-term financial strategy in the budget more in line with the predictions, we could potentially be looking for a reduction in service expenditure to meet the deficit. So, again, it is a high-level strategic report, the medium-term financial strategy, but we need it to be, frankly, more accurate. We need the monitoring and input from the heads of service when they are projecting their budgets to be more accurate. I'm not trying to move away from the fact, but the heads of service do set their own budgets. There are variations within it. You can see within the report that there was a overspend of 371,000 in planning, which is a huge overspend. Various reasons for that. I am assured that some sets of planning fees that were deemed to come in did not come in. You can argue it anyway. It goes into the next year, and we could then have a surplus next year over what they predicted, but we definitely can't, on a budget of this size, we cannot have variances of that degree. And that's really all I've got to say, so I'll hand over to Head of Financial Services.
Thank you very much, Councillor Barclay.
Thank you, Councillor Barclay. I mean,
sorry to interject. Has everyone met Leslie Tansey? Leslie's our Head of Finance and Property Services, so I know some of the councils are new. So
yes, Leslie Tansey, Head of Finance and Property Services.
Should I say Miss or Mrs.? Inappropriate.
Leslie Tansey is fine.
I'm bound
Mrs.
under the new
rules.
I'm trying to do as I'm supposed to do because I'm too used to saying first name. So Mrs. Tansley, thank you very much for coming in. Nice to meet you. Thank you.
Councillor Barclay has obviously gone through a lot of detail in the report. I've met Councillor Barclay a couple of times and gone through the detail with him. If you've got any questions on any particular area of the report, I'm quite happy to take those. Councillor Barclay has gone through the service expenditure of the £377,000 with you, and also the summary report. As well as the £377,000, there are a couple of other variances just to highlight. We've got a variance of RCCO, revenue contribution to capital. That's basically £752,000, but that's actually funded and already agreed with the reserves that we've got. And the other variances are interest paid and interest received, and they're to do with purchasing our property funds and obviously accumulated additional interest this year.
Okay.
Yeah.
First of all, members' questions before I lead off on some bits and pieces myself. Councillor Shepherd.
Thank you. Well, could I through you say to Councillor Barclay, I thought Councillor Barclay's comments were so comprehensive and useful, he's really, I think, begun to answer the question that was forming in my mind, but I'll just repeat it for the sake of clarity. I was going to ask him, based on these figures and his experience and then what's coming down the line, what he sees as the main threats and opportunities for the Borough Council and plans to mitigate those threats. And quite clearly, he's saying that one plan is to get better budget predictions, and I guess perhaps a role for this committee, if we look at the budget over the next year, would be to assist the Cabinet in doing that, if that's the Cabinet's firm intention.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, what is the real risk as to our finances? Obviously, we are limited in what we can raise council tax by 2%. There is a lot of other services being passed down from various resources, from county council, from central government. You can see we're making every effort to try and help ourselves. We invested in some property bonds. Mm. I don't want to tempt providence, but that's actually worked out quite well. That's what increased our income by over £100,000 at the moment. That also cost us £116,000 to invest in that income. So they were offset, and going forward we will hopefully have another £116,000. One of the things that we are looking to do is commercialise the council. Now, by that, I don't mean start going into doing things that we don't have any expertise in, but I think in the mindset that you can have is, are we spending £100,000 in service expenditure to bring in £15,000 income with a net loss of £85,000? And we are at the moment going through all our service areas to have a look at it. We're also going through, do we need to do that? Is that something we'll want to do? There's a lot of statutory services that we have to provide as a council. There are also services that are non-statutory that we do provide and are appreciated by the residents. The biggest threat, as always, is the funding that we get, and also the fact that we're limited to 2% in raising the council tax. What are the opportunities? I think by looking at what we're doing, getting... This is not meant to be insulting, but I think in local government is probably not natural to look at things in a commercial sense, and indeed some of the services we provide are of a social significance and are never meant to be profit making, but by the same token we can really look at all the service areas and see what we can do to make things better, how we can save, it's not just either bring in income. We've done things like increased garden waste charges, we're looking at increasing the bulky waste charges. Some of these services that we're providing are actually costing us very heavily, and we are nowhere near as expensive as other councils. Our council tax rate, from memory again, is about, we're one of the cheapest council tax fundraisers out of the 215 local district councils. What do I think? I think it's each head of service, each directorate has to look at itself realistically. I also think we're going to have a lot more, I don't see this council being the same in another 10 years' time with technology moving on, digitalisation, the next generation. I doubt we will be in a building as big as this. I very much doubt we'll be providing services in the same way. And there's a real drive to try and get that IT up, to get the commercialisation mindset going, and to continue to provide excellent customer services to the residents, because leaving the politics aside, that's actually what we're here to do, and that can really be our sole aim.
Can I ask us advice from Mr. Jackson, please? Reference has been made to the County Council. Now, two of us here are on the County Council.
Sure.
Do we need to declare?
Three.
But I'm not.
I'll
put this up to you. I mean, my request for advice is: do those of us who are on this committee and on the County Council need to declare a personal interest?
My advice would be not in this situation. We're not actually voting on any decision or any activity of the County Council. So I think we're fine at the
I mean, if I could share, I'd just like to make clear I'm not being critical of County Council. They've got to save £75 million over the next 4 years and push it down the line. The trouble is we don't have anywhere to push it to. We can't push it onto the parishes. Things like the lifeline service that we provide, there was a lot of cost involved in that came our way. And overall, over the last few years, we have saved a lot of money, but we've also taken on probably £1 million worth of additional costs. So we really, and proportionately probably as difficult as a county, but our overall aim is to get a decent medium-term financial strategy which bears relation to reality, so we're not making reductions in services, that everybody knows where they're going. You'll see within the budget that we did a managed saving plan whereby £253,000. There are always managed vacancies, but there are always vacancies within various directorates. We achieved a saving of £253,000 because the vacancies aren't always filled, therefore that's money that we saved. You could argue either way on that. Would it be nice to have more staff and use that? Could well be, but we've provided the services. We've still got our excellent customer service awards. So I think there is a real drive from the directorates and also the heads of service to keep the ship afloat, provide the good services, and our job in finance is to facilitate that to the best of our ability. But there does have to be ownership among the directorates and above the heads of service, rather than just pushing it towards, that's all finance. Because really they have a job to do, which and they do a good job, don't get me wrong, they do a good job. Perhaps finance is not quite as high on their list as it could be, but I think it needs to be, because to be able to provide their services, they need to have a budget. We don't want to be cutting budgets unnecessarily.
Yep. Okay. I have a question about paragraphs 25 and 26, and really that stems from last night's council meeting.
Right.
Where a question was asked about universal credit and the impact it's having on people renting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Councillor Mercer implied that there'd be no problems introducing universal credit and it had no impact at all. But yet I noticed that in 25 it says rent arrears have increased to 965,000. Court costs have increased to 104,000. And I just wondered, I mean, and the 26 goes on to expand that this is purely down to the introduction of universal credit. So I was wondering whether the chair might consider asking Councillor Mercer to come at the next meeting, perhaps, so that we can identify whether what the actual situation is.
I am very happy to consider. I have no idea whether that's within our remit on such a specific issue, because it seems to me it probably sits in housing, regulatory, ... I'm happy to be given advice on that particular issue.
Chair, could I
Councillor Barclay?
I think that's a valid question. I would email Councillor Mercer and quote this paragraph too and ask him whether he can provide an answer.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, I mean, or you're equally welcome to approach the officers and the officer concerned for this housing, I believe, is Peter Oliver.
Yeah,
Is it Peter?
Yes. It is Peter Oliver.
So you might actually, without going to Curtin House, unless you may ask a question of the officer and say, look, this is in the report, can you explain it to me? And he will do, he'll provide factual information.
If I can try and help, so I can't remember, I've got to be honest, I was there last night, but I can't remember word for word what the quotes were. No doubt it will be on the audio tape. I think maybe the differential is that this paragraph 26 clearly outlines the fact that arrears are increasing due to Universal Credit. I think attributing evictions to Universal Credit, I think that is something that probably hasn't happened. So I think that's probably the differential, but I wouldn't disagree with by all means asking Councillor Mercer to correlate the two,
okay,
two answers.
And the other thing is Universal Credit pays the money direct to the people without actually before their housing benefit.
I understand.
Yes. From my perspective as chair, I don't think it's the place to call somebody in on a single issue like
that
I think is related. And I don't mean that to be in any way political. I think it's very appropriate that you ask a direct question of the member.
No, that's
and
fine.
I think there are other routes for you to pursue that.
Okay.
Thank you for raising it. I'm comfortable that you did so. I don't think it's quite the right forum to do that. But
Thank you.
I'm comfortable that you pursue that. Other questions before I lead with a few myself?
I've got a couple of things to consider. Would it be possible to get, with these figures, the actuals for the previous years? Because I think that comparison would be quite useful for us. I'm just struggling to find which page it is. Appendix 1 and Appendix 2.
Yeah.
If it could be provided with a couple of other years previous, then I think that would be very, very helpful.
Okay. I'll leave that with Leslie to see whether that is possible. I mean, I'm sure producing the previous year's figures, they will be available. There's no question about that. It's just in what format they are. And I think it's a very valid point. This doesn't produce a line-by-line of every Costco within every directorate, but it gives you a clear indication of where things are going, and I think that's fair comment.
Well, the reason I ask that is because of the next question that I want to ask, which is around the change, what proportion of our revenue is coming, or which of these items is coming from central government, and how is that likely to change over the next few years?
Okay, well, the majority of our funding used to come in the form of revenue support grant. It now comes in the majority from one council tax, which is a fairly big contributor, but without a doubt the next biggest contributor is the new homes bonus. That used to be, we used to get 6 years worth of council tax from all new homes built in the Charnwood area. That has now reduced to 4 years new homes bonus. There is some speculation of whether that will continue in the present form. But to give you some idea, that the council tax gives us something like 6 million.
Can I just stop you there, Councillor Barclay? Just on a matter of process, I think the question is hugely pertinent about the budget and the sorts of explanations and that sort of question. I think it's hugely pertinent around the discussion around the budget setting process. But the proportion necessarily with regard to us looking at the outturn, I think it's a very pertinent question, and one of my frustrations in the budget process that the contextual issues haven't been there.
It's a strategic issue, actually.
And therefore the detail of us noting the outturn, I don't want to waste Councillor Barclay's time, because there's also the capital plan and the other bits to go through.
Yeah, that's
but
fair.
I think it's hugely relevant for us in the overall context of the budget funding process.
If I may, Chair, I'll just literally in 30 seconds, because I think I understand what you're saying. And the business rates produce nearly 5 million, the council tax produces about 6.5 million, and the new homes bonus 3.5 million. Hopefully, what are the variables, what are the unpredictables? We don't know what funding is coming in terms of new homes bonus. We don't know whether the government legislation is going to change. Certainly, as far as NNDR business rates are concerned, the government is looking at new ways. There was going to be a fairer funding review of council funding. which was due to take place this year for district councils and also county council, that is unlikely to happen this year, and we're likely to chug along on the same system. But the real threats are, we never know what's coming down the road, quite frankly, and it is very, very difficult to predict. Even when we're setting the budget now, we do not know what variances are going to be. So it really is, although you can be critical of what we've done, by miracle whatever, we've managed so far to get there.
But some things are announced, aren't they? That's the thing.
Some things are announced, but not till after we set the budget. And also during the year, they change. They change their mind. Mm-hmm. And for many, many years, we come to Christmas Eve, whenever the budget is going to be set, and either it's on that day that we find out what the settlement will be, or no. That's going to be less of a problem, actually, because the revenue support grant is disappearing, and it's gone. All right. But that's in a nutshell, that's where we are. But you're quite right. It is not that straightforward. It just really isn't.
Can I ask a couple of questions, bits and pieces?
Yeah,
the first one is just a sort of logic chain, and I think probably Mr. Jackson and Mrs. Tansey will both possibly comment on that, as well as the lead member. And then the other one is a slightly more specific illustration, perhaps, of the first. Looking on page 10, if I look at the general fund outturn, I look at the original budget, line 2, and nothing was budgeted by way of revenue contribution to capital. We ended up moving £752,000.
Yeah.
I can only assume, in my logic, that that came from underspend across the rest of the revenue budget. Am I wrong or right in that assumption?
I've actually explained it at point 2 on page 5. The 752,000 was actually, it came from the capital plan reserve, 451,000, 269 from the reinvestment reserve, and 32,000 from underspend. So that money there was sitting in.
I haven't got to page 2.
Page 5.2.
Sorry, I got it wrong. Yeah. Really, Chair, to answer your question succinctly, no, it didn't all come from underspends. 451 came from the capital plan reserve, which was already within the general fund working balances and had already been allocated, and 269,000 from the reinvestment reserve, which was previously put aside for that sake. So only 32,000 came from revenue savings.
So why were those figures of such scale not originally budgeted for? Why
were,
would we not know in that line that we were going to spend 491,000?
We did.
From that line.
I think as the capital programme is set, scheme by scheme, an appraisal has to be taken, and the time when that's taken, so it's possibly a timing difference in terms of when we set the budget at that particular time, the 451,000 perhaps wasn't approved as a capital scheme at that point.
So at the time the budget was set, previously we get four capital plan amendments reports throughout the year, and there are issues added to that, and also where the money is going to be funded from, and it was allocated at times, am I correct, Tommy?
Yes.
At times throughout the year to meet the new capital programme that's come on. So it isn't just a question of underspends. That money was already, some of it was already allocated into the revenue reinvestment reserve, which has to have, from memory, something like 500,000 minimum in it. So that's something that's long and along, and the capital plan reserve is something that we've created out of, well, over years, out of various savings and various bits and pieces, yes, which has been specifically put aside previously to fund capital plan capital plans coming forward.
So the 752 is subject to capital cabinet reports
being approved.
Being approved, so it's sort of approved capital reports.
Yeah, throughout the year after the budget was set.
So I think one of the subtleties in this is, although this is about the revenue and principally focused on our operational expenditure, the RCCOE is actually around spending on the capital programmes, or the capital programmes in a separate report. So in a way, although it's a big number and a big variance on our revenue outturn, it is actually much more connected with the capital programme. Now, I think one of the questions, and I think, you know, a valid question, is how much do we anticipate spending money through on capital items with revenue expenditure or sources of revenue funding? And in the past, we have actually had a budget for those amounts in there. So we used to have a block amount which used to cover things like IT refresh and similar items like that. So we have had that in the past. We haven't done that this year. We clearly have spent or financed some of our capital programme through revenue contribution to outturn. So really the question for us going forward when we set next year's budget is how should we reflect and consider what the actual likely expenditure is on RCCO next year, and see if we can reflect that in the budget in a more accurate way than we were tempted in the previous year.
Yes, Chair, if I may, that was exactly the question I would have asked, and that's exactly what I did ask. Okay. Because I thought, if we're underspending by that much, shall we just... But we're not. Not 32,000 is really the stuff that came out of the underspends.
Let me deal with a more specific item. If I talk about planning and the overspend in planning, I won't remember which meeting I sat in where we passed a new structural plan for the department and we agreed the financing of that plan, for which I can specifically remember an increase in planning revenues being referenced in that strategic plan. And I can also specifically reference from previous meetings in the few months leading up to that, where we had in a separate presentation been informed that the major applications for the town were all through. So if I'm in the guise of critical friend, I'm wondering whether in noting this report, this committee needs to be flagging concerns about the financial controls inside that department, given that we were presented with a brand new structural plan. If we're being a critical friend on that basis, if I'm holding the executive to account, I'm concerned that a new plan is not working.
I think, Chair, that an overspend of 371,000 is noteworthy. I'm quite sure that Richard Bennett, the head of planning, is very aware of it. I said to you previously that although I have not, this isn't hard fact because I haven't got evidence of it, that he tells me that there's a lag in planning fees coming in, which would have, if it had been in the year 18-19, we wouldn't be showing that on the spend. But I haven't got factual information about that, and I don't think it would be an unfair comment to note that. At all.
How does members feel about that on that particular issue? Some of you were not here or may not have been in the room for those various items. You have to take my word for it that we were given a presentation with regard to the new structure of the planning department and the financing of that, and those issues were directly referenced. So I'm in members' hands about whether you would wish to note that point, whether you wish to go over it. We are asked to note this, and it's a fairly meaty piece of work, and I wrestled. I have some of my own personal reservations in this document when I have to put it next to the other key document in my eyes, which is the statement of account, which is the devil's in the detail when I go through the full 18-19 outturn. And whilst these numbers reconcile and reflect, I do carry some concerns, but we are asked to note it, and there might be other individual items here that other members may have been through and wish to flag. Councillor Shepherd.
Thank you. If we're looking for some specific outcomes, I wonder whether the word noting is really quite enough. Shouldn't we be coupling the fact with some request for further information from a named person or something a bit more than noting?
I think one of the issues that I like from my time on audit committee is the language of audit is to seek reassurance.
Yes.
And I sense, personally speaking, we have another shot at all these in audit committee, but it's slightly delayed, and if we look, because we'll have had time to go through the full statement of accounts and done some more work on comparisons with last year and drawn conclusions from that within the audit environment, the one thing that we seek in audit is reassurance.
Yes.
And I would seek reassurance that, as Councillor Barclay has commented, and I'm perfectly happy with that comment because I wouldn't expect him to know whether planning money's there or not there and it's carried over or whatever the situation is. We gave permission to a new plan, not here now, but it was given, and I sense I would seek reassurance that progress on that plan and the finances of that plan are to a standard which we as members would be comfortable with, because in noting this, we are noting the entirety of last year's council accounts here, the outturns.
Mm.
That's quite a big decision in my eyes, with full understanding of the statement of accounts, perhaps not with all of us yet as new members on this committee, and the comparisons and the detail. So we're taking quite a lot on trust. But I think there's a particular issue there that I have recollection of that we would be, I think, warranted to seek reassurance on, that our new plan for planning was progressing in the right direction, that we're not going to be seeking permission with weeks to go, environments and other issues.
Agreed.
And ...
I agree. Would there be any merit in going a stage further and speaking of seeking either full assurance or partial assurance? Is that going too far into the language of risk management rather? Is the word, I'm just making sure that we are asking for something which is doable and which we can understand when it comes through.
If I may, Chair, I think it's very doable. I think realistically this is a factual report. I don't think there's anything wrong with the numbers. I think where the committee needs to be aware is that this will go, these are the unaudited outturn reports for 2018-19. We have both internal and external auditors who examine our accounts. They have not yet been signed off. The accounts will go through the audit committee, and it is up to this committee, quite within the, to make comment as far as the actual accounting is concerned and the accuracy. I don't think there's a question that they're inaccurate. It's a factual report. Mm. If there are inaccuracies, it will be picked up by internal and external audit, and they're quite specific. I think the committee's frightened.
could I make a suggestion, Chair, about how you might wish to look at this? So, in the we haven't got to this point yet, but one of the sort of areas we are going to discuss is how we would scrutinise the budget and the process. So one of the things that we've suggested in the past is to consider the outturn, and one of the things that, using this one as an example, we could note, or the committee could note, that there's a large overspend in this particular service area. When it comes to setting the budget, that could be a focus of how the progress of that service against the budget is progressing, and then the committee could consider what the plans of the service are to address problems, if there are any, into the next budget period. So essentially, I think based on the conversation we have, and I must confess I have not checked this, there's if by the time in a month or so, that would be 4, 5, 6 months after the year end, then you would hope to see those planning fees that have maybe been delayed in 2018-19 coming through. So as part of the budget process, we could see whether that was happening. And if that wasn't happening, then there is a question about how that overspend is going to be addressed in next year's budget. So as a sort of a general rule, one reason for looking at the outturn is to identify areas where there are issues or large over or underspends and consider the, how those are to be addressed in the budget process going forward into next year.
I'm very keen to talk about that when we get to the budget setting process and what we're going to go through later in the agenda items. Other questions on the specifics before I just ask one or two more points?
So rather than using the word noting, what are we saying exactly?
Well, I think we're seeking reassurance on that budget line.
Okay, thank you.
And I think, is that wording clear?
Yeah, that's
and that reassurance will come back either to the next meeting or to us as a committee via a response.
You can have it, I mean, it's 3 months until your next meeting. Yeah. You can have it by way of a response outside of the meeting that's circulated to all members if it's that straightforward, if it's a... Because it's focusing as well on the financial element of this. You've got to be careful not to get into the area of another scrutiny committee.
Exactly.
It's not a service that this committee is responsible for, so it's just keeping it focused on that, really. So, however you'd like it, really.
Remind me which directory it sits under.
Housing planning.
Yeah, housing. It's very, very long
regulatory.
Title. Yeah, yeah.
As well as asking for a financial response here to members,
yeah.
We could ask that our concerns are noted. We can pass the ball across and also let them know that we've noted that. It might draw their attention in their work. Members happy with that?
Yeah.
Comfortable?
Yeah.
I will try to be briefer, but there is quite a lot of detail here. The scale of the HRA carryover, how do we feel about that in the overall? I know we've got some detail on it, but just as a sense of scale, how do we feel about that in terms of our budgeting, in terms of the scale of that?
Well, that's, again, it's not ideal, but there are specific reasons for that, and from memory, we're actually asked to carry forward the majority of it.
So 484,000.
Yeah, so 445,000 for maintenance and landlord services. 25,000 for partitionation project. So 484,000 is actually being carried forward, and that's the request into next year, simply because these things haven't been carried out last year. I think if we come to the capital plan, you will see the reference to various items, but is it ideal? Well, we have budgeted to spend the money. It is a question of timing. There's no misappropriation of funds. There are reasons behind it, but the specific reasons and drilling down into the money that we've spent on the housing stock, I think it averages out about 10 million a year. And we have a healthy housing revenue account. We also have 79 million pounds worth of debt on the housing revenue account, which is chunked out into various sectors for repayment. We have a housing revenue finance account, which we're putting money aside to, so when the blocks come up for repayment, we have the ability to either repay it or actually or reborrow, whichever is decided. But if you have a budget, my only criticism would be here is I think it's understanding that sometimes they cannot find, and if I remember rightly, they could not find the contractors to deliver within the existing timescale to get it within this year, and that's why it was carried forward to next year. But you would have to ask housing specifically. But I do recall reading somewhere that was the case, because again, that was another issue which...
I think going forward, it will, as I look through all of the notes here, there are some fairly sizable chunks of capital being moved around, which make the situation, I believe, members can support me or otherwise on that comment, very difficult for members to track and follow.
Yeah.
So whilst I recognise what's been said already about the capital plan reserve, the account, the 700. I'm also looking at the fact that 966,000 has not been utilised in this year and has slipped into 1920 in the general fund reserve. So all of the time I keep seeing these bits appearing across the various reserves, money moving between lines, I am concerned at the clarity with which members are able to scrutinise that. And I don't believe, whilst I recognise we are new, this committee, I don't believe members aren't trying and working hard to do so. And we are going to have to find ways going forward to crystallise and clarify that process for members, because I think it's important. It's challenging. I'm not an accountant, and I find the process enormously challenging to try to stay on top of the finances. I am nervous of this document, not because I think it's anything wrong in that regard, but just because of some of the variances and then the detail I've been able to cross-reference between this document and the fuller 73-page statement of accounts, where the devil is in the detail and there is more variance there which becomes visible as one goes through the detail. Yeah. Whilst the headlines rise up to here, the devil's in the detail in the main accounts, in my view.
Yeah.
So we are going to have to work at that, and that's not me trying to be critical. I want this group to be able to scrutinise and do our job with you appropriately. We're going to have to work on that. I am minded to note this tonight with the caveats that we've put forward, but it would be with a sort of a very big question mark for future for this committee to do the work over the next year, to not be in a position where we have 73 pages of accounts sitting underneath this, which perhaps we're not all clear around as we sit around here, and that we'd like to be doing a better job of being able to scrutinise and cross-reference with you. Can I just go to Councillor Baines first? Yeah.
I don't know where this is considered, but I do think it's important, especially if we're evaluating the extent to which we're meeting the corporate plan. And is there... whereabouts do we see sort of 3 years of forecasts for income and revenues?
Medium-term financial strategy, which is coming up and is set every year going forward 4 years. What I would say to you is, in honesty, I doubt very much anybody on this committee, including me, will ever really be able to understand the 70 pages of detailed accounts. And rather, it's up to the committee to decide, but from my point of view, I would suggest that it is the strategic direction, certainly the big figures and everything else, but I would suggest to the committee that you don't beat yourself up and try and reconcile, not because, and the reason I say that is because you've got the audit committee, the internal auditors, the external auditors, who are looking very carefully. You are entitled to ask any question you like, and if you want an explanation,
I'll point to Leslie. Assist
don't
with
ask
that.
Me, ask Leslie.
Okay. That's really helpful. Sorry, go on.
In terms of the HRA carry forward request, Peter Oliver, who's the head of Animal Services, obviously has requested that money to be carried forward. It is an underspend on the HRA. Again, the assurance that all that work be done for $484,000, obviously that's then on top of the budget that's set for this year.
Yeah.
If you wanted further assurance, it's something that operationally, you could perhaps go back to Peter Oliver on this question.
But the other thing I'd just like to question you on is around use of ratios, which are always incredibly helpful. I find enormously helpful, certainly in running a typical business. Now, I'm not completely familiar with public sector finance ratios, but there must be some. And I wonder the extent to which we're providing those and also benchmarking against where we should be compared to other similar sized councils. Is any work done around that at all?
As far as I'm aware, there is not benchmarking against other councils, because basically they're all so very, very different. But I understand what you're saying is, are we have the quarterly outturn report, so where we are performing against budget comes through on a quarterly basis, and again that will go through the audit committee. And I think it is at those benchmark points every quarter that we need to be looking, and whether we're profiling the budget in the first place correctly. I think your concerns centre around, as indeed mine do, and bear in mind that I bear responsibility for the overall budget, so I'm equally keen as you are to get it right and provide the services. But I do understand your concerns. I think, whether it's within the remit of this committee or not, I think taking a pragmatic view of what happens at the quarter one out turn, which is at the end of June, which will probably not be produced for another, or probably the end of August, you'll get the outturn report, 2 months delay. But I think the point that the head of financial services has made about we're putting another £494,000 into housing next year, are we really going to spend that budget, or are we going to end up at the end of next year with
the same amount or more?
Yeah, because you will see in the capital plan that's coming up, we actually allocated a 1.9 million additional money throughout the year, but actually underspend by exactly that. So I don't sense there's anything specifically wrong with it, but I think we could be more strategic in terms of timing and being more realistic. And I would just, I'm not trying to rush you, but I would just say that I've got 10 minutes.
Can I just say, because I sit on another committee and yep. Faulkner were there, and they are aware that they were a bit behind because of contractors. But now they know there's extra money, if I'm right, they're going to put more contractors in, so it should be spent and sorted. I'm having a nod from Jane over there, because she was there. Yeah, so I think we'll probably find that the money will be spent and the job will be done.
Can I
ask members, are we happy to note, given the caveats we've placed around this report, item 6, for the capital plan, outturn report, housing revenue account and general fund, are we happy to note that, given the discussion we've had, the caveats, and the work we must do as well in the intervening period? Councillor Shepherd.
I'm happy, providing the minute clarifies what I think you've been quite rightly requesting, which is more information and some specific outcomes that we can receive and understand.
I think we've done one with regard to the planning situation. We've sought reassurance. Yes. I think that word has some cognizance across the council from the audit position. So I think we are seeking reassurance, and I think we've made that clear. And I think we've flagged it with our colleagues on the housing scrutiny panel, and hopefully they will at least know we've looked at that. And I think for us, we are developing. We'll get better at this under the new process as we go, and we shape the new work plan. Are members comfortable that we move to item 7?
Yeah. I am going to slightly Councillor Barclay, you might want to lead off again on item 7, okay. The capital plan out, and before I am going to make some initial comments once Councillor Barclay has spoken.
All right. So here's the outturn report on our capital plan. We have a budget of about £3 million for the general fund, which is completely separated from our housing stock, which is about 5,500 houses we have in the borough, which is contained within that. The money that's contained within the HRA capital plan, I'll come back to the general fund in a minute, is not a particularly big general fund expenditure budget, but the HRA is, I've already made reference to the fact we have £79 million worth of debt and that we've got to build up a fund to try and repay that. We've allocated about £110,000 per house that we have. From memory, we have about £613,000 in the HRA account at the end of this year. Overall, the HRA is in a significantly strong position. The outturn shows that there was that we achieved overall 83% of the total capital spend, but within that there are the general fund was actually 74% of budget, and the HRA, which is a significantly higher expenditure, was 89% of budget, and it actually does have previous years in there. I think Councillor Radford has actually referred to the fact that the propensity to do the work and get it done was probably lacking at times, but the 410R contractors are now more up to speed on that. The other thing I would point out in the HRA, there is money that we hold from, that we get from developers, Section 106 money. Some of it's substantial, and that is money which developers contribute towards infrastructure within the borough. We do not necessarily have total control of that. We have control of the money, but actually when it comes to having it spent, we sometimes rely on the parish councils, and an instance of that is Hallam Fields Community Hall in Birstall. just for, this is what I've come across, and also Syston Town Council using on the cemetery, there's 325,000. We can do nothing with that money. That is totally down to them. They claim it from us as and when they go through. One of the things I've suggested is we try and separate that out. I've spoken to the head of financial services about that, so we get a more realistic picture of what is within our control and what isn't within our control. We have various variances throughout the year. I've said that overall we are underspent. We put in a 1.9, we did an extra 1.9 throughout the year. We bring forward updates on it. Again, the project management of the projects, the timing of the delivery of the various capital projects. Another example, we were underspent 117,000 on the Beehive car park, and for example, works were procured, but the contractor was unable to commence until the end of April 2019. Our year end is the 31st of March. So things like that, we probably need to get smarter on. Again, factually, I believe it to be correct. That doesn't necessarily mean that project management on all the projects is good. In fact, the report itself said, in gross terms, Appendix 2 shows that the capital expenditure for the year fell significantly short of that plan. Okay, that this is a matter of concern, identified previously by the Audit Committee in their meeting in November 2018, and we actually did produce an updated plan, but we failed even on that updated plan for various reasons. Given this situation, a review of each project where delivery has been delayed will be undertaken with a view to lessons learned, informing future scheduling and reporting of the capital plan. And the items and why they are significant, the spends are outlined on pages 18 and 17 and 18. In a nutshell, we need to get better. I don't think it's the actual accounting. I don't think it's all down to finance. We can only be accountable for if people tell us this is when the project is going to be delivered, then, and it isn't delivered, that means that we've got an underspend. And I think it's that which needs addressing, and which we need to get smarter on that. I know the capital plans come through every quarter, but I think a significant amount of it, you know, what's controllable by us and what's not controllable by us needs separating out. The section 106 money, which has got to be spent by the parishes, what we can control is different. And you know, we do have the ability to move things now in and out of the capital plan four times a year. And if we don't think it's going to be delivered, why put it in the capital plan on an amendment report? We increased the capital plan expenditure of 1.9 million during the year and then failed to deliver the capital plan by virtually the same amount, which isn't very good.
Thank you for that, Councillor Buckley. I just will just make an opening comment before I go to Councillor Shepherd. You will be aware that I have commented almost since my first day here on the huge continued underspend on the capital plans, and have felt largely powerless to influence that other than to continually comment each year that we get the figures in front of us. So by way again of trying to be the critical friend, one of the things that perhaps as this committee or references back to the commission or wherever, at some point we can't just keep saying we don't get it right every year. There's a point at which action, and that action might be that we have to look at the route capital projects come on to, and we might have to be more thorough in allowing and how we allow a capital project on there. We might have to be more ruthless at removing capital projects that have been there for 2 years and unspent, because if we've had it there just lying there for 2 years, that's money we are not as an authority using elsewhere. So I think there's a series of issues before anyone drills down into any detailed questions that I think personally and perhaps collectively as this group settles into its work method, we will have to consider how we act as a critical friend to this particular issue, because it's constant. I don't sense we are making progress which we can tangibly go, we have improved significantly and we now do this better. We have had an annual issue, and whilst I recognise some of the issues we have, where something doesn't quite come through, particularly with the developer 106 money, but there's a lot of capital projects there that probably we should be more strongly influencing. And I have to say, my life in a previous council, the issue was very similar until we wrestled with it very hard to tighten up significantly on the way capital projects came to the table.